Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
It's become so common, we don't even think about it sometimes, but subscription products have really taken over our world in a way no one could have predicted. And along with them, new demands and new opportunities for copywriting. If you look at the past, you'll see a lot of promotions were based on a single sale with the copywriter or the business hoping that the customer might build by the upsell. These days, recurring revenue is just a matter-of-fact business model. Question is, how do you not only sell people into a continuity program, which bills them month after month, but get them feeling good about paying over and over? And that's what we'll look at today. I can tell you this, though. One thing listeners to this podcast have heard over and over is that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Nathan, have you seen the movie Jurassic Park?
Oh man, I saw it at the drive-in and my mind was blown. I loved that movie.
You know, there were dinosaurs roaming around everywhere like it was normal. Yeah.
Yeah. I still remember the T-Rex stomping in the water in the coffee cup, doing the little water waves thing. That was, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what it was really like when I was a kid, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And in those days, we had subscriptions, but not that many. Subscriptions to the newspaper and to magazines, if you remember what those were. And the Book of the Month Club was around. And in fact, Columbia Record Club was started 2 years after I was born. But when my next door neighbor needed dog food, she would go down to the A&P, a grocery store that no longer exists, and buy some cans of dog food or a large bag of it. Yesterday, my next door neighbor got a huge box full of refrigerated food delivered from We Feed Raw. And it's part of a subscription. 2 days ago was Amazon Prime Day. Now, that's interesting because Amazon Prime is a yearly subscription. And on Prime Day, you can get special deals. But you can also use your Prime membership, which again is a subscription, to get free deliveries on monthly subscriptions to supplements, of which I have several. And the Adobe Photoshop software I use to create thumbnails for this podcast, it's on a monthly subscription. So yeah, we're in a subscription economy now. One guru goes so far to say, if you don't have a recurring revenue in your business, you don't have a business. Now, I wouldn't go that far myself. But what I would say is that we're seeing enough subscription business that we ought to take a fresh look about how to write copy for them. So we're going to cover five crucial points today. What the subscription economy is, how to bring someone into your subscription. Once you have them, how do you keep them? Additional engagement strategies and upsells and cross-sells. What say you?
I have one objection to this right now, and that's the fact that I have too many subscriptions, and some of my subscriptions I don't even use on a monthly basis, but I just get lazy or I forget to cancel them. And I don't know if that's going to be one of your, how do you keep people on your subscriptions? Because I know that for me, at least, that's one way they keep me on them.
I know. Same here. I have about three subscriptions to audio mixing software apps that I pay every year. And I guess I use them. I don't use them all the time though. Well, so I guess the answer to that is you want to be on the other side of that. You want to be the person collecting the money rather than paying it.
True.
All right, let's talk about what the subscription economy is. I mean, we've got to admit, things have changed. We now have a subscription economy, and it's changing the way we do business. It's important for copywriters to understand how this works. Not just from the victim end, like Nathan and I are, but, you know, I've been talking about, but, you know, just from sort of a 30,000 foot view. We're talking about a shift. It's a mindset shift. It's a transaction shift from ownership to access. And some people would rather rent than buy. They say, why buy a car when you can use a ride sharing app? Why clutter your house with DVDs when you can just stream movies? And to be sure, subscriptions are booming. According to a McKinsey report, the subscription e-commerce market has grown by more than 100% a year. That means it's more than doubled every year over the past 5 years. And of course, it's not just tech companies. It's lots of companies. I mean, look at Dollar Shave Club. They turned razors, boring old razors. I used to use a razor, didn't you, Nathan? They turned razors into a billion-dollar subscription business. But big tech is in subscriptions for sure. Think of Adobe Creative Suite. That's where I get my copy of Photoshop from. I think you use Adobe Premiere? Yeah?
I have the full Adobe Suite. I'm one of those pays every year. And that's one of the subscriptions that I use every single day. So I would not give that one up.
Okay. Yeah, I pay a monthly fee for it. I wouldn't give it up, but I don't use it every day. But I think you're better at some of those things than I am. Subscriptions are huge in entertainment, Netflix, Paramount Plus, and of course, Amazon Prime Video. And even more old school traditional businesses like the auto industry are offering things on this model. I don't know if you knew this. I didn't until I started researching for this podcast. Porsche now offers a subscription service where you can switch between cars anytime you want. So what does this mean for copywriting? Well, the main thing to keep in mind is the value proposition is different. In the subscription world, you're not just making a one-time sale. You're building a relationship. So your copy needs to do more than just to get someone to buy. It needs to get them to keep paying month after month. Netflix understands how this works pretty well. They don't just sell you on watching a show. They use their copy to keep you engaged on the platform. When they flag a show or a movie with the words, because you watched, and then they show another show or mention another show, they're not just making a recommendation. They're showing they know you and they know you watched, and they're doing what they can to keep you subscribed. So for subscriptions, the copy's got to be a little different since we're not just going for one-off sales in cases like these. Now our focus is on creating ongoing value and building trust. You need to think about how to convince people that your subscription is worth keeping, even when their money's tight. Remember, in the subscription economy, the first sale is just the beginning. So one question to keep top of mind right from the get-go is, how do I keep this going?
A major shift that I've seen over the last couple of years is when it comes to info products. A lot of info products that used to be just buy it once and buy the upsells and then you're done. And now a lot of learning-based products are switching over to the community model where you pay to have access to the community and it's an ongoing subscription. And so one of the ways to answer your question, how do I keep this going, is if you leave the subscription, you not only lose access to the educational material, but you also lose access to the community. So that's one prime example of, in our industry, how people have been doing this.
Yeah, that's really smart. Smart comment, but also smart way to do it. You create the community and then you have to pay to stay in it. Yeah. That's good. So, all right, but let's go back to the beginning. How do you bring someone into your subscription? And, you know, this is where it all starts. You're not thinking about just selling the product or the benefits. You're thinking about how you get people to join. And that comes with putting together a compelling value proposition that stretches out over time. So this isn't just about listing features. It's about painting a picture of how your subscriber's life will improve. Look at Peloton, for example. They don't just sell exercise bikes. Their copy focuses on the transformation. Become the best version of yourself. There's a lot in there that we're going to talk about some more. But it's a huge principle. People don't just buy products. They buy better versions of themselves. Your value proposition should reflect that. Instead of talking about what your subscription does or what your subscriber gets, you're going to be talking about what your subscriber becomes. Another way to bring people in is to include exclusivity. And this is really appealing to the right prospect. Look at how Spotify uses this. Hear it first. Exclusive releases only on Spotify. They're not just offering music. They're offering their version of a VIP pass to the music world. The thing to remember, though, is this is a great place to play it straight. You can't fake exclusivity. Your offer actually needs to be limited or special or exclusive in some way. A couple ways you can do this is offer early access or bonus content or both. But whatever you do, make sure what you say is true and verifiable. Keep in mind that these days people are more skeptical than ever. And some people seem to enjoy spending their whole day trying to find out who's potentially trying to scam them and then spread it all over social media. So don't be one of their targets. You know, the short-term, long-term thing, it's tricky because as copywriters, we tend to have a bias towards instant gratification. Don't throw that bias out the window, but balance your initial pitch with equal time for long-term value. It's a double whammy. Your copy needs to give them a reason to sign up now, but also a reason to stay subscribed even before they subscribe. So let's look at Amazon Prime again. The initial hook is free shipping. That's the immediate benefit. But the expanded long-term value gets into a whole suite of add-on services, video streaming, Prime Video, music with Amazon Music, photo storage. I've never used that, so I don't know what it's called. If you've got more than one thing going on with your subscription, make sure your copy highlights both the immediate benefit and what comes next. You're getting people to join a community, so the copy that makes the effort to start a relationship wins. It's a balancing act, so give some thought, and that way you can bring them in for the long term.
The way that I think about this is, as copywriters, we tend to, maybe this isn't the greatest analogy, but there's two different approaches. You can say, hey, I'm just looking for a one-night stand, or hey, I'm looking for a long-term committed relationship. And what you're talking about here is kind of a combination of both. It's a, hey, we're going to have an awesome night tonight, but also this is something that I'm interested in turning into something more than just tonight. So it's kind of a marrying of both worlds.
It is. And that's the trick to make it work, because some copywriters are much better at quick closing and some are much better at, you know, the long-term, nurturing, supportive relationship stuff. You've got to wear both hats. All right. Now, let's talk about, once you have them, how do you keep them? And that's onboarding copy. You really aren't profitable unless you can keep them for a while. So you do this with a welcome series, welcome email series. And don't just phone it in when you're writing it, so to speak. You know, provide real value and remember the meaning of the word value. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Grammarly personally, but I do admire how they do their welcome series. They gradually introduce you to the features over time, and they use a welcoming tone too. Their copy is friendly and encouraging, and they do their best to make you feel smart for choosing them, even though you're choosing them because you're not that smart. Don't know subject, verb, object. But okay, so you're not congratulating people for joining. If you're not just doing that, you can do that. You should do that. You also want to get them excited about what's to come. And there's a fine art to educating your subscribers about the features and benefits. Now, that may not be, you may sell them into the transformation, but They're going to want to know what's there, what it's going to do for them, the features and the benefits. So a lot of businesses go too far in one direction or the other. Okay. Either they overwhelm new customers with too much info too fast, or they underwhelm them with too little. But Canva does a good job with this, though. They don't just list features. They show you how to use them to solve real problems. Their onboarding emails are like mini courses. Each one focuses on a different angle of the app. It's not overwhelming, but it's thorough enough, but it's clear, it's concise, and they really make an effort to show you how Canva can make your life easier. Okay, finally, let's talk about early engagement. One rule of thumb is the sooner you can get your subscribers to actually use your product or service, the more likely they are to stick around. Take the language app, Duolingo, for example. Their copy doesn't just tell you to learn a language, it challenges you. Can you keep your streak going? And I've noticed Kindle does this too. They tell you how many days in a row you read something. It's corny and it seems silly to me, but it works. So let's recap this step. Your onboarding copy needs to do three things. Make them feel good about their choice, show them how to get value from their subscription, and motivate them to engage. And the better you can do that right at the start, the longer they will stay with you.
I think what you said without actually saying it is it's about building that habit. And through the onboarding sequence, through here's some easy wins, here's some simple steps to get you started, you help build that habit of using your service or your product at the beginning, and that keeps people using it longer.
Yeah. I mean, once someone has a habit, unless it's a lot of effort, it's usually easier to keep going with the habit than to drop it. Sure. Okay. So let's talk about additional engagement strategies, because that's what retention's all about. You know, retention is where the profits start to add up, and getting the customer is one thing, but keeping them is where the magic happens. So see what you can do to personalize your communications. And I'm not talking about an email template that says, hi, first name. I'm talking about making every communication come across seeming like it was written for the individual customer. So Stitch Fix is an online clothing store. My girlfriend buys clothes from them. And yesterday she told me that the clothes she wears that I like the most always come from Stitch Fix. So here's what they do to keep her buying and all their other customers. Their emails don't just announce new clothes. They say, based on your style profile, we think you'll love these pieces. It's subtle, but it makes a world of difference. As AI and other forms of automation play an increasing role in everything these days, the world feels increasingly depersonalized. So even a sentence like, based on your style profile, we think you'll love these pieces, is a refreshing change. And guess what? It spurs buying behavior over the long term. Another great way to keep subscribers are milestones to keep them feeling good about their choices. HelloFresh does this well. They don't just deliver meals. They celebrate your cooking journey. They simply acknowledge how many meals you've received from them. And that may seem ridiculous unless you're the one getting the email. Then you might appreciate the congratulations. Finally, pain points. The key here is to address concerns before they become reasons to unsubscribe. Let's say you sell a meditation app and your metrics show it's not being used enough. You could send out an email like this. Struggling to find time to meditate? Listen, we know how busy things can get these days. That's why we've added a new series of 3-minute meditations. People tell us sometimes a 3-minute reset is just what they need until they find time to do a longer session. That kind of preemptive marketing can go a long way to keeping a customer. Do what you can to reach out and touch your customers personally, so to speak, in your emails. That can have a dramatic impact on your retention.
You know, you mentioned AI and how it's has the potential of depersonalizing things. I'm thinking of, though, the YouTube algorithm. It knows I personally use YouTube for my meditations. I look for meditation music on YouTube. It knows mm-hmm. which types I spend the most time listening to and then feeds me more of those. I'm thinking of HelloFresh or the clothing brand that you mentioned based on your personal style. If you can have that information of which type of dresses did they buy, which type of blouses, and then you can use AI to say, hey, now we actually do know based off of your style, based off of your listening habits, based off of your cooking habits, we do know which one fits you the best, and you can have AI help you with that. I see that as something that Google is already doing, and as soon as somebody comes up with a tool for the rest of us to do the same thing, that's a way that you can use AI to actually re-emphasize the personal aspect of your marketing and keeping people engaged and keeping people on the subscription.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, first of all, Google is the genius of geniuses online in a very different way that, you know, I mean, Facebook's like an evil genius kind of, but it is a good point. If you have AI, you want to use it to personalize more. You want to use it to make the person feel comfortable, not intruded upon. Google does a terrific on YouTube. Yeah, same here. I mean, I have one video on YouTube that I meditate to every day. And so after a while, they realized I'm not looking for anything else, but they offer me other kinds of things. They realize I like the late night guy. So I get Jimmy Kimmel and I get Seth Myers and things like that. I mean, they figure it out pretty fast and they're really good at it. And if you can do a fraction of that, if you can simply list the behavior that you want to measure and acknowledge and get your AI to scan for that, that couldn't be so hard, mm-hmm. seems to me. But it's got to start with the human. You know, it's got to start with an idea that you come up with, because the AI will come up with all kinds of ideas, which some of which are totally batshit crazy. Okay. So last of all, upsells and cross sells. We'll look at upsells and cross sells. Now, the cost of acquisition for these sales, for an upsell, for a cross sell, the cost of acquisition is essentially zero because you've already got the customer. So the first step is to figure out what could the opportunities be. I mean, let's say you're a course creator and you have a membership site and you discover a customer has taken several graphic design courses. That's an opportunity to sell them higher level courses. So you could send them, well, that could be you, Nathan. You're quite a good designer. Hey, Nathan, I noticed you're doing great with our graphic design courses. That's why I thought you might want to take your skills to the next level. And so I'm telling you about our new Design Pro package. It includes high-powered workshops with top design teachers. Give this a try and see how quickly your skills improve more. This, by the way, refers back to what we were just talking about, what you brought up, except in a more commercial sense rather than just a content sense, but what you brought up about YouTube and the meditation music. So, yeah, that's, you know, hyper-targeting, hyper-personalization, that probably is the future. Anyway, back to, you know, the design idea, the design course, the idea is to expand on what's already working with an upgrade. And here's an important key to creating copy for upgrades. We've covered this before, but it's worth repeating. Focus on the transformation rather than simply listing out features and benefits. If you had a fitness subscription app, email could say, you've made impressive progress with our basic plan. Ready to take it to the next level? I'd like you to consider premium, which includes personalized meal plans, one-on-one coaching, and convenient analytics. This is about becoming the best version of yourself, so check it out. Notice again how this kind of messaging acknowledges their current success and then paints a picture of an even better future. Finally, timing and context, and this is crucial. Don't hit your new subscribers with a ton of offers right off the bat. Take your time. Let's say you're running a project management tool. You might trigger an upsell when the user hits the limit of their current plan. Your copy could say something like, Hey, we noticed you're close to your user limit. We'd like to invite you to upgrade to our business plan now and add unlimited team members. Not only that, we'll also throw in our new AI productivity tool. See, there's AI again. There's that AI again. We'll also throw in our new AI productivity tool as part of the package. Want to take a look? So this is an important thing to note. The copy was triggered by the user's actual behavior. It's not like on robo autopilot. It's like responsive to something that's going on in the user's world. And so it offers the upgrade as a solution to a problem that it guesses the user is actively experiencing. So the key to effective upsell and cross-sell copy is to make it feel like a natural next step in the subscriber's journey, as opposed to something forced. You can really expand your profits when you do this right.
I'm thinking of Amazon Prime. You mentioned earlier. I have two different accounts. I have one for me and one for my daughter. And when we log in to watch Amazon Prime Video, totally different experience. The things that they
recommend. That's interesting.
Yep. But the movies that you can rent or the movies that you can buy through Amazon Prime, the ones that get suggested to me are usually action adventure movies. The ones that get suggested on my daughter's account are usually more in line with what she watches. She watches horror movies and stuff like that, true crime movies and stuff like that. And so Amazon Prime does a great job of this. Depending on which user is logged in, they recommend different. And I'm thinking one of my clients has an exercise bike that has a TV hookup. It's got a TV in front of it. And while you're exercising, you can ride your bike through an old fashioned town in England, or you can ride through the mountains, or you can ride next to the ocean. You get to see different visuals as you're going. And they also do a good job of, based off of which ones you use the most often, they have upsells for, hey, we noticed that you love riding through villas, and we noticed that you love here's an old-fashioned, old-timey New England town that you might like riding through. Or, hey, we noticed that you love riding through nature, and here's a new Himalayan back trail that we just put up. And they do a great job of targeting. We know that you like this scenery. Here's a new one that we have. So again, it's a more natural thing. It's that personal relationship. We know what you like. Here's some more of it to keep you on board.
Yeah, that's a great example. And you know what I'm thinking of is AI can do a really good job if you tell it to and you teach it to, of listening to your customers, maybe better than you can. I think those are wonderful examples of companies with a lot of experience and money who are already doing it. So yeah, everyone keep that in mind. All right, you want a quick recap?
Yeah, let's do a recap.
Yeah, okay. We started by understanding the subscription economy, why it's booming, and how it's changing the game for copywriters. After that, we explored how to put together your hook to get subscribers on board. From there, we discussed onboarding. This is your chance to get subscribers excited and engaged from the first day. We talked about how to educate your subscribers without overwhelming them and how to encourage them to start using your product right away. Finally, we wrapped up with retention techniques and the opportunity for upsells and cross-sells. The key takeaway is that you're building and nurturing relationships. You want to keep creating value so subscribers come back month after month.
I think the thing that I really took away from this is, in the old model, it's sell them once and then maybe hit them up with some emails when you have a new offer, or maybe send them some direct mail or however you can contact them every once in a while when you have a new offer. But if you've got them actively engaged, it takes a little bit more than that. It takes a little bit more consistent follow-up. It takes reaching out, touching, having those more frequent touch points. And not only does that help you upsell, but it also helps you keep people on board. It keeps people from churning. And that's something that is a slight reframe from the traditional approach to marketing, to copywriting.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been a school of thought in sales and in copywriting to a lesser degree about relationship marketing, but it's just coming full circle now. You know, I mean, this is, and especially with all the other depersonalization in the world, this is something people really crave. And so if you give it to them, they'll reward you with their money.
If you enjoyed this episode and you want more touch points, you can go check out copywriterspodcast.com. We got a ton of episodes up there for you. Almost 400 other episodes over there right now. So a wealth of knowledge, and we'll do our best not to overwhelm you. And anything else before we're out of here, David?
Well, see you next week.
All right, man. We'll see you next week.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.